Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Now, you're very welcome, Max. So day one at Cheltenham is where we're turning to. Star of the show was, of course, Tipperary's finest, Rachel Blackmore, winner of the champion hurdle aboard Honeysuckle. First female jockey to win a championship race at Cheltenham. We are now 10 years on from her first win as an amateur at Thurles back when she was 21. She turned professional in 2015. Nothing to lose, in her own words. Roll of the dice, really, to try and get more rides because they weren't all that forthcoming at the time. And then her first Cheltenham winner was 2 years ago. Now today, it's very much a landmark one, a historic one for the 31-year-old. Here were the closing stages.
Honeysuckle moves into the home straight with a two-length lead to Aspire Tower in second. Charger has moved into third. Epatant is behind those in fourth. But Honeysuckle is galloping clear as she races towards the last. A lovely leap. She cleared it safely and heads up the hill now. Honeysuckle and Rachel Blackmore clear from Charger. Epatant behind those. It's a beautiful straight. 11 victories for Honeysuckle. She is the winner of the Unibet Champion Hurdle. Charger in second. Epatant, Aspire Tower.
Yeah, an amazing win. A comprehensive win, to say the least. Afterwards, here's an emotional Rachel Blackmore trying to make sense of what had just happened.
This was never even a dream. It was so far from what I ever thought could happen in my life. To be in Cheltenham, riding the winner of a champion hurdle, it's just so far removed from anything I ever thought could be possible. So maybe there's a lesson in that for everyone out there. But yeah, it's incredible. You can't do it without getting on the right horses. I've been extremely lucky in that sense, and getting, you know, linked up with a yard like Henry de Bromhead. You know, you need to be riding those horses, and yeah, that's a massive part of any jockey's career. Being in the right place at the right time and getting linked up with the right yard.
Rachel, you told us the story about going to the Istabrak when you were a schoolgirl. It's sort of almost like full circle now. You are a champion hurdle winner. That is an amazing story, isn't it, really, I suppose?
Yeah, it's incredible. We went to see Istabrak, as you say, on a school tour. I'm from Tipperary, so it was local, and it was, I never envisaged back then when we went to see him, I'd one day be riding the winner of the champion hurdle. When every person becomes a jockey, you know, they dream about riding in Cheltenham and all these things, but like riding a winner like this is just unbelievable.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, we're going to chat with Henry de Bromhead in a few moments. Trying to get hold of people over in Cheltenham is fun and games on a week like this, as you can imagine. John Duggan is with us. John, if racing and if Cheltenham needed a good news story, they got one.
Oh, they got a huge one, Joe. Good evening. This is a major story. It's front pages a few weeks ago for the wrong reasons, and front pages tomorrow for the right reasons. 1927 was the first champion hurdle, and this is the first time a woman has won the championship race, and it was easy for Honeysuckle. And Rachel Blackmore, never been beaten, 12 times now, 11 times under rules, once at a point-to-point, and anybody who was a fan of the horse in the race wouldn't have had too many things to be worrying about, because Rachel just kicked on around the bend. And the rest of them were out with the washing, and it was just a beautiful performance from a mare that's improving. Won the mare's hurdle last year against her own sex over 2.5 miles, and then came back to win the championship race today over 2 miles. And just credit to Rachel, as you outlined there. She's had a long slog at it. You know, in 2015-16, she only rode 6 winners, and that was the first year she turned pro. Like Nina Carvery, Katie Walsh didn't turn pro. Rachel decided to have a go at it. She's a positive rider. She's got a quiet style. She works very hard. And people have backed her. The O'Leary's backed her, Michael and Eddie. Henry de Bromhead has backed her, and she's repaid them. 84 winners in Ireland this year, and now her fourth winner at Cheltenham. It's a brilliant story.
Yeah, I was listening to Henry de Bromhead talking to Jer and Johnny a couple of weeks back, and he was saying it was Eddie O'Leary in a taxi around Aintree just in 2017 saying, "What about Rachel?" and gave her a few rides and just took off, and she started winning, and it's been this fantastic partnership. And as you said, Cheltenham winner, first Cheltenham winner was in 19, and now a day like today caps it all off. So as you said, for people who didn't catch this race, it was a dominant performance. Blackmore made it look very, very easy. She said afterwards, John, that Honeysuckle keeps surprising me, keeps getting better, jumping is slicker almost every time, things easier for her in each race. So, I mean, there's a high enough ceiling, I would think, for this mare.
There is. She's only seven, and she's obviously improved. And the best performance I'd seen before today was her last one, when she slammed Abergadabras by 9 lengths at Leopardstown to win the Irish Champion Hurdle for the second year in a row. When she won it last year, it was much tighter. And Kenny Alexander, the owner, said, I want to have a Cheltenham winner. So last year they said, OK, we'll take the easier option, the Mare's Hurdle. They won that race. Now they got that, they extinguished that desire. They said, OK, why don't we take on the big boys in the Champion Hurdle. And she had the form, and she came into it in form. The other horses, like Abergadabras, fell in the race. Goshen was jumping out to the right. And once those two were out of the picture, you really Epitant, last year's winner, was the only thing horse you could think is of a big danger. But she didn't really run as well as she did last year. But I think the race was stronger this year for the presence of Honeysuckle, who horses can improve, and she's improved, and she's peaked right now. Can she do it again next year? Absolutely she can, because she's versatile over soft and good ground. So the sky's the limit for her. She's been carefully handled by Henry de Bromhead. He doesn't over-race her. And I think that, yeah, she can definitely go back-to-back next year.
Yeah, for de Bromhead, it's a really big day as well. I think that's his 10th Cheltenham Festival win. First Champion Hurdle, trains out of Waterford, obviously.
13 years ago, he had Size in Europe, a horse who was favoured for the Champion Hurdle, and Size in Europe was pulled up with a back injury. That was very painful at the time for Henry. He'd never trained a Cheltenham winner before that. His dad, Harry de Bromhead, trained a Cheltenham winner in 1993, Fisher Seal. So there's a family history there. But Henry, once again, has been a long time at the game. And started off, he had Alan Potts as a big owner, Size in Europe, then came back and won the Champion Chase at Cheltenham. Then he had Special Tiara, won the Champion Chase. But like a lot of other trainers and jockeys, it's taken a long time for Henry to get to the position where he's now one of the top four or five trainers in Ireland and Britain. And obviously we've seen the Gordon Elliott horses going to him, like Envoy Allen, who's probably the best, most promising horse in training, that Henry's got a lot of ammunition now.
Yeah.
And one thing about Henry is he's very good at training horses to jump. Mm. And I think we saw that with Honeysuckle. You need to jump well in the Champion Hurdle. He did that today.
Yes.
She did that, rather.
Sure did. Listen, John, stay with us, because very happy to say Rachel Blackmore unexpectedly joins us on the line. Rachel, you can hear us okay there?
I can hear you, lad. Yeah. How are you all?
We're great. I mean, not half as good as you, but we're great.
That's
so listen.
For sure. That's for sure.
Well done, Rachel.
You're live. You're live on the radio, just in case you're not sure what's going on, because I'm sure phones are being handed to you left, right and centre. So listen, wow, wow, wow. Amazing.
Yeah, incredible. I don't even feel I have the words to describe it, to be honest. In an unbelievable day. You know, it's the Champion Hurdle, so it's just very, very special. And yeah, fantastic to be a part.
We played a little clip of your press conference just before you came on, and what jumped out was that you were saying, even growing up, this wasn't even the dream. Like, you've surpassed whatever dreams you might have had.
Yeah, like, I dreamed of being a jockey and of riding winners, and but like, I could never even have envisaged I'd ride the winner of a Champion Hurdle someday. So to be in the position I'm in, you know, with the backing of Henry de Bromhead to get on these kind of horses, you know, it's unbelievable. And the training performance he's done with her, you know, to get her every day in tip top shape, like, she's improving. He has her improving. It's unbelievable.
You're having this extraordinary career, and we were just talking about it before you came on. You know, 2011 in Thurles, what, 10 years ago, your first win as an amateur, and then you turn pro in 15, and you have your first Cheltenham winner 2 years ago. So, you know, you've been building for a long time. What was it like today, this morning, Rachel, that pressure, I suppose, of the big favourite in the big race? I mean, was it a nervous morning? Did you sleep okay last night, or was it a tricky enough 24 hours?
You know what, I actually slept great. I was very tired. We travelled over from Ireland, and you know, it was a busy day on Monday. So yeah, I slept great. I probably woke an hour or two earlier than I usually would. So the adrenaline was maybe a little higher than usual. But yeah, look, it's a champion hurdle. The races in Cheltenham, there is extra pressure attached to them. But, you know, when you're going out on something like Honeysuckle, very straightforward ride, you know, it's a big help.
Mm. What are your final thoughts? Because, you know, we're watching on TV and we're keeping a very close eye on you guys as you're circling around, ready to go. What are you telling yourself then? Or are you giving yourself any messages? Or what tends to crop into your mind in those final moments before showtime?
Yeah, you're just in the zone then. You're just riding in a race then, I suppose, like any other day. And the minute you get the leg up in the parade ring and you walk down the chute and you canter off, you know, nerves kind of disappear then, to be honest. You know, you're doing your job, and you know, you've all the homework done at that stage, and you're just going out and trying to ride the best race you can. So yeah, it's great, it works out.
Did it go to plan? Was it the type of race you expected? Did you do what you were planning to do?
Yeah, I'd always planned to line up where I did and keep my options open. And I was hoping that, you know, the field wouldn't congest and I'd be pushed too wide, but it didn't. I was able to slot in one off the rail down the back. Was happy where I was. And yeah, look, the manner in which she finished, you know, I could have rode her a few different ways, I'd say.
Yeah, that looked like, you know, slotted into sixth gear and cruise home. I mean, what a way to win.
Oh, incredible. you know, she's an unbelievable engine to have on there.
When you turn on your phone, who do you call first?
I rang Peter Maloney, Kenny Alexander, my parents. They were top of the list.
And so, give us what was the word from the parents? Was it screams down the phone, or are they a bit more reserved, or what was coming up from the phone line from Tipperary?
They were just delighted. You know, I get a massive kick out of it, but you know, they get a massive one as well. So actually, they're just so pleased. You know, the general consensus from everyone was probably a bit of sadness that they couldn't be here. You know, delighted, but you know, that's just the way things are, unfortunately, this year. And we're all very grateful to the massive work that everyone's put in getting Cheltenham on and getting us Irish over there. And you know, we're you know, there's very strict protocols that we have to adhere to. You know, I'm currently eating my dinner inside my room here, inside in the Irish bubble. But yeah, we're very grateful to all the work that's gone into getting us here.
And your parents, I presume they've been, you know, so supportive all the way. Did they have misgivings about you getting into this world? And I don't even mean because you're female. I just mean because it's such a bloody tough world. Son or daughter, it's not an easy road. Have they been kind of pushing you along all the way when you've had the odd doubt here or there? Or were they even maybe had a few doubts themselves?
No, they've been nothing but supportive. I think they've kind of left it up to me. Like, after my leaving cert, I did college and I got that done, and you know, this kind of fell my way then. And they've been extremely supportive, and you know, as I say, getting as much a kick out of it as anyone.
So you said you're eating your dinner now in the Irish bubble. How does all that work? Are you in a cottage or is it a hotel, or what's life like there this evening?
So we're in a hotel that's you don't have to access a public road to get to it. It's right on the back of Cheltenham. So we're all staying there, separate rooms, we'll say. And, you know, you have your dinner in your room, and it's there's a lot of different protocols we have to go through to get over here. We were all tested. We're tested again before we come home. We're not integrating with the English jockeys at all, or anyone, you know, any English stable staff. It's all completely separate. So the Irish people are not interacting with anyone else.
Right. Okay. So when you finish dinner, is it feed up and watch TV for the night?
Chill out. A massive bath in the room, so I might have a bath.
Watch the race a couple of thousand times over, I guess.
Yeah, you said it. You said it.
John Duggan, I'm sure you have a question there listening.
Rachel, are you now in bonus territory going for this Gold Cup on Friday and a Plutarch? You got a big chance?
Yeah, massive chance. Really looking forward to riding them. It was a great way to start the week today, obviously, but there's a lot of races. Really looking forward to them.
Well, listen, I'm conscious. I'm sure you're doing interviews and running around, and that bath is calling out, I'd say, like nothing else. So we'll let you go, and just big congratulations. Geez, for somebody who doesn't like the limelight, you keep hogging it, you know, front page news tomorrow.
I'm happy.
Well, you should be. Listen, big congratulations.
Thanks,
again.
Well,
amazing.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Bye.
Rachel Blackmore, John. We genuflect at the altar.
Wonderful story. What a story. I had a tear in my eye, Joe, when she crossed the winning line, I have to say. I just thought it was a fantastic story. And for Irish sport, not just for racing, for Irish sport, it's just a brilliant story to win a championship race. And we had five winners today, but that was, as I said before the week, that was one of the key stories. Would she win it? And she got a chance in the Gold Cup now.
Mm.
And that'll be the story of the week, whatever happens. Unless she wins the Gold Cup, that'll be the story of the week.
Yeah, for sure. So you mentioned the other winners today. We should briefly just round it off for people. I mean, I don't know if it's a sense of kind of superstition or whatever, but when the day started with Appreciated, the big favourite, winning comfortably for Willie Mullins in the Supreme Novice Hurdle, followed by Shishkin in the Arkell for Nicky Henderson, winning comfortably, I kind of thought, is this going to happen again for Honeysuckle? Just, it'd be too much of a good thing. And obviously it did. But Shishkin and Appreciated were as impressive winners as Honeysuckle was.
They were, Joe, and I think both horses have big futures. Appreciate it. A bit like Honeysuckle, you might have thought wanted further, but this was over 2 miles. The ground was soft at the start of the day. It did dry out, but won by 24 lengths. It was a very impressive victory. And once again, he'd be definitely a horse for the champion hurdle. Be interested to see what he could do over further. So I think he's actually surprised William Mullins, his trainer, what he's done in the last few months. Shishkin is a horse that won at the festival last year, a really good jumper. There was only five runners in the race.
Yeah.
The race is kind of set up for him, but he won it well. But then you get these strange results, Joe. You had a 28-1 winner then in the next race in the Handicap Chase Vintage Clouds on his fifth appearance in the race. And then an 80-1 winner of the Juvenile Hurdle and a first festival winner for Wexford jockey, Sean Flanagan, for Meath trainer Noel Mead with Jeff Kidder. So anybody around the country who had a few quid on Jeff Kidder will be booking their holiday for somewhere nice when the pandemic's over.
Mm. And Black Tears for Denise Foster, in place, obviously, of Gordon Elliott, won the Mayor's Hurdle as well.
Yeah, and that was a head win over Concertista. So Black Tears has run well at the festival before, and that was one of two winners for the Kerry jockey, Jack Kennedy. You're talking about Rachel as well. And Jack Kennedy is only 21, hard to believe. He's still so young.
Yeah.
Jack Kennedy, he burst onto the scene when he was a young lad, and he rode the winner of the last race, Galvin. So it's interesting that he rode a winner for Denise Foster, and then Galvin was taken out of Gordon Elliott's yard and is trained now by Ian Ferguson, who actually had him at the start of his career in Ballymena. And Galvin, the change of yards didn't make any difference because he won the last race quite snugly.
Okay. So you said five Irish winners today. Of how many races? Six?
Seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Right. Okay. That's a very acceptable start.
This Ryder Cup thing, Joe, is going the way of Ireland every single year at the moment, because British horse racing has got some issues with prize money and the fact that owners are not getting into the jumps game as they are, as much as they are into the flat game.
Right, okay. 19 is the record, isn't it? I think there were
seven. That's right, 2017, yeah.
17 Irish winners last year. In a line, I guess, of about 30 seconds, John, what are you looking out for tomorrow? What's going to be the story tomorrow?
Willie Mullins has got three hot pots. Shaq and Persuas, he's never won the champion chase. That is the hot favourite for Willie Mullins in that big race, the two-mile race over fences. Monkfish has been really impressive for me in the novices chase for Willie. And then the bumper, the race which he's really farmed as his own over the last two decades. He's got Kilcrush and Sir Gerhard. That'll be a really good clash. I think Kilcrush might win that. But Willie tomorrow, and if all three of them can win, the bookies will be maybe licking their wounds for once in their lives.
Yeah, no harm. Listen, thanks so much.
All right, Joe, take care.
Cheers. John Duggan there. And John's back tomorrow, by the way, for the hardcore fans out there, with Johnny Ward and Tom Malone on our Cheltenham show, which is 10:30 tomorrow morning. And a reminder, our Cheltenham coverage is brought to you by Paddy Power. Don't feel like a punter, feel like a favourite this Cheltenham. And for information on responsible gambling, visit gamblingcare.ie.
The OTB Podcast Network.